How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay. Yeah, good, thank you. Had a very nice bath last night, so I feel kind of...
What did you do to make it nice? Bath salts?
I put some salts in and I also put in a bit of bubble bath that I've been bought for Christmas.
I didn't know
you could do both.
You can, you absolutely can. Have you got one of those trays that you put over your bath?
Well, it's actually just a plank of wood, but yes.
Yes, very nice. Did you have a glass of wine in the bath?
Well, no, actually, I haven't had a glass of wine for a couple of nights, and I do feel smug about it.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
You're doing sort of late dry Jan.
Late dry Jan, yeah.
Yeah. Did you listen to anything?
I started to listen to a couple of podcasts, and then I thought, no, I don't want words today. And then I put on some classical music.
Really nice.
George Butterworth, By the Banks of Green Willow, if you know it.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to George Butterworth. And a little bit of, you know, very, very light classical music. And but just sort of took me on a bit of a journey. And that's what I wanted, really.
Oh my God, you're like an X Factor contestant.
I did feel like I went on a journey, went through a bit of Vaughan Williams.
Sure.
It was just sort of a compilation album of sort of various pastoral kind of anthems, if you are familiar with that sort of music.
It's quite different to the Ibiza Anthems album that I had as a teenager.
I would say it's quite different to that, Suze. Yes. and I felt quite relaxed. I think I was in there for about an hour.
Very nice. Mm. That's the thing, isn't it? Because the idea of a bath is lovely, but heaven forbid you're left with your own thoughts.
That's the problem, is it? That is the problem.
And then if you have a podcast, sometimes people can be a bit shouty on them and you think, this isn't what I'm here for. The last thing I need is a comedy podcast.
Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. I mean, as listeners to this will know, we are not fans of comedy podcasts.
Barely fans of stand-up.
Barely fans of podcasts.
But you do need to find the right tone, don't you?
Well, I think so. I mean, I've gravitated towards quieter things. But sorry, yes, no.
No, I think that's good.
Yeah, well, what were you going to say?
I was going to say I've been listening to audiobooks more.
Oh, lovely.
Well, because I feel like with podcasts, and I appreciate we're saying this indeed on a podcast, but I'm sort of done. I've had quite a lot of opinions already this year, I think, that I'm just a bit like, oh, this is all very loud.
Oh, from people's podcasts?
Yeah, the news is really loud. Everything is so stressful.
Mm.
And I know all the stressful things that are happening and I've read the news and I'm across it. Mm. I don't need it like rammed down my throat.
I've just picked up my teacup off my saucer as I had agreed with you there.
I liked that for you.
Can you hear that, listeners?
Yeah, it's nice. Oh, look, you're like a Foley artist.
Yes.
Pop some gravel on a board.
Oh, yes, I'll be walking along that path. But I absolutely agree. I think there is a time for, you know, listening and learning, but there's also a time when you're allowed to relax. You know, if you can, why not? You know, that's, and I think that makes us better all round, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
So there you go, listeners. If you needed permission, you've got it.
You've got it, yes. I have listened to two great audiobooks in the last couple of weeks. I listened to Magpie by Elizabeth Day, which is very good.
Oh, right.
And I listened to Blue Sisters by Coco Mellors. If maybe you're listening and you're looking for a novel to listen to, there you go.
Are they lesbianic fiction?
No,
Elizabeth Day is.
Magpie is not lesbianic fiction.
Okay.
She is not a lesbianic. She indeed has a husband.
Oh my.
I know. Imagine.
I thought, who is the writer that you like who just so happens to be a lesbian? It's not the most important thing I realize.
Sarah Waters.
Sarah Waters, yes. I think Sarah Waters.
I think Elizabeth Day would like being confused with Sarah Waters.
Fine.
Great. Fine. But she's great.
Shout out to both of them.
Shout out who I assume are listening.
No, I imagine that. having finally found their dream podcasts, yeah.
Well, of course. Mm. And then Blue Sisters is about It's about grief, actually. It's about four sisters and one of them dies, and it's sort of how the other three sisters sort of continue to live and how they do that. It's really good.
It's good. It won't make us sad.
No, I think it sort of ends in a sort of a hopeful tone, but it is sad in places. It's set in New York. The four sisters are from New York, and the person that reads the audiobook has a very New York accent, which to begin with, I was like, oh, this is quite jarring. And then I really got into it and I felt like I was in New York and I wanted to say things like, hey, I'm walking here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's exciting. You can join in.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Because people love it when you're reading audiobooks.
That's the point. I'd like that, a call and response in an audiobook. I think there's enough of that.
What, like an assembly?
Like an assembly, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Or church.
There's a lot of call and response in a church.
There's a lot of call and response in church. Where else? Football, I suppose.
Football has it too. One might say the church of the now, in many ways. It's the cathedrals
of... Well, I think so. Hey. The cathedrals of... Mm. Of sport.
Of sport. And,
of sport.
And are they, these sisters, are they called Samantha, Miranda?
Carrie.
And Charlotte?
Yes, they are. They are. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, great. That's lovely. Oh, I'll listen to that.
It was actually the inspiration for a little known TV show, but I'm not going to go into it.
Okay, no spoilers.
No spoilers. Well, I'm pleased you had a nice bath. I had a gig last night.
Oh, Stuart, where were you for the gig?
I was at Always Be.
Oh, lovely. In Kennington.
ABC Comedy in Kennington. Me and your friend of mine, Josh Whitcomb, doing new material.
New material.
Yes.
Weaving. That's what they should call it, weaving.
My new show.
Your fabric.
Which I'm enjoying.
Oh, good. Well, it's very exciting. The new tour.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've still got quite a lot of time and I've got quite a lot of material, and I don't know that I've been in that position for quite a long time.
that's grown up, isn't it? That's maturity. So.
Well, I think last time I went on tour, I was quite panicky about how long I had to write it, and I spent more time panicking than I did doing the actual writing.
A classic.
Stressing about the writing than actually just sitting down and getting the writing done.
I feel like, well, I know I can relate to that. I feel like a number of our listeners will relate to that as well.
Sure.
Maybe most of our lives is actually spent in the panic state rather than in the doing state.
Yes.
And freeze. Are you familiar with the sense of freeze?
Well, fight, flight, freeze.
Is it the third one? Yeah.
I think some people say yes.
Because I remember feeling that a lot, particularly early days of stand-up. Like,
but that flat you lived in was really cold.
It was cold, though. I was actually freezing cold. And I do feel a chill on my kidneys. But
you need thicker jumpers.
You need thicker jumpers and vests at all times, as my mother has always taught me. But that state of going, oh, I should be able to do this. I've got time to do this. And then the cogs in my brain just sort of jam up and then...
Yeah. And you go, oh God, do the thing. Write something funny. For goodness sake, write something funny.
And there's nothing. Nothing there.
There's nothing.
It won't, you know, you kind of go, like simple things. People are like, just write something about, I don't know, teacups. And you go, yeah, sure, I know loads about it. And then you try to write it like, nothing. I'm stupid. And then.
Do you find, and I feel like this isn't just our industry. I feel like it's like, say you're going for like a promotion, or for us, like you're going for a job, or you get booked for a job. Sure. Do you have that thing where you go, oh my God, I've been booked for it. And you have about 30 seconds of going, oh my God, this is so great. And then the next thing is utter dread.
Well, just the fear of getting it wrong, I suppose, or letting oneself down, I suppose, is the hardest one that we fear, isn't it? But we don't. I mean, and everybody else in the whole world. Of course,
your family and your friends.
And all our ancestors as well.
Of course.
All of them looking down
in their graves. Is that how you feel too? Or is that?
Yes, quite often.
Quite often.
I think, you know, learning to not overthink it and not thinking about it is sometimes a good thing.
Yeah.
But easier said than done, of course, we've come to learn. But I think it is a genuine, it's born out of wanting to do a good job, isn't it? Born out of wanting to do as well as we can.
Yes. I kept trying to do mindfulness and meditation and I just couldn't get the hang of it. Or maybe I didn't want to get the hang of it. Who knows what the answer is there. But I've started reading. And I say started, this has been going on for about 5 days, but I've bought like a I was in a Burt's shop, which I don't know if you get Burt's in London. Ooh, but they're like these really nice little sort of homeware shops where you could buy like a soap dish for quite a lot of money, if I'm honest. A bits and bobs shop.
Candles.
You better believe it. A kettle, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Some jazzy tongs.
Oh, right. Yeah,
you know, that sort of thing. Mm. It's great. And it's really good for a present. Anyway, I was in there. I was getting someone else a present. And of course, I thought I'll get myself one too. And it was a book. It was like a small book of Buddhist teachings, which were all, it's by a Korean monk whose name currently escapes me. I'm very sorry for that. Mm. Maybe I'll put a picture on my Instagram tomorrow. Today. Mm. And I have started a little routine.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm hoping will continue. Where in the morning when I get up, I don't look at my phone first.
Good.
I'll read a few pages of that.
Oh, Suze, that's great. The dream. I'm hearing more and more people saying how they charge their phone in another room. They don't have their phone by the bed.
Yeah.
They have an alarm clock instead.
Throwing it straight into the sea.
Throwing it into the sea, for example.
If you wanted to, maybe a fish could answer it.
Yes. Lovely. Not watching television with your phone in your hand is very, or you know, whatever you're watching. A screen.
What do they call it? Double screening?
Don't double screen, yeah.
Don't double screen.
I mean, I don't know, but I do feel like there is in the last few weeks, maybe, there's been a sort of sense of, oh, actually, I want to watch just some good old-fashioned telly in the sense of like the success of The Traitors and a lot of the great dramas that have been on various channels.
Of course, Call the Midwives Back.
Of course.
That always changes the dialogue.
I mean, doesn't it? If you can speak, because some of us are just crying uncontrollably throughout Call the Midwives. Oh, this week's. I know we do seem to be doing a roundup every week, but this week's one, Suze.
BBC are going to start paying us for this?
I know. We should be invoicing them for the marketing. They don't need to do any other marketing other than us talking about it. It was very, very moving, very sad, very moving. But Dr. Tina Turner, he had to go and pick up the vaccines himself in his little Volvo.
My God, Dr. Tina Turner is so busy. I cannot believe that he's not been given a junior GP.
I cannot believe that there's not like a little assistant or somebody.
Or his son knocking about. He's at medical school, Timothy.
Oh, yes, Timothy, where have you been? Yeah, come back, all's forgiven.
He's trying to keep the whole of Poplar alive.
He really is. He really is. And also, I think I've only just realised how it's a GP surgery, but then it's also a maternity home attached to the same building.
Mother and baby ward. Yeah.
Which, to my mind, I kind of find that quite unusual in today's world.
I would say so. I don't know.
How many beds have they got in the maternity ward?
Well, I think in the maternity home, they've probably got 6 or 7 beds along with the nursery. But this is all sort of a guesstimate from just my eyes.
And then there's the community hall.
Years of dedication.
Yeah.
But of course, there's a community hall. And then there's
St. Cuthbert's. Of course. And then St. Nanutta's house. That's not part of it. Is that next door to the maternity ward?
Yes, it's not in the same building.
Oh, because that could be quite a good use of St. Nanutta's, and then they could like claim that it's actually a hospital.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that in a religious building, but we'll find out. If there's any priests listening.
Oh, yes. Do let us know.
Do get in touch.
Any ecclesiastical listeners. Yeah.
I love that word, ecclesiastical.
Yes, I don't actually know. Ecclesiastes. Yeah, I don't know what it means exactly, but I know it's of the church.
Have I ever told you about when I had to say that at corporate?
No, what corporate were you doing?
it was for insurance.
Of course.
And it was insuring ecclesiastical buildings. So like the insurance of churches. That was like one category.
Oh, that's, and some houses have it attached to them. You have to pay a certain amount.
I suppose, if they were once upon a time sort of used as a religious building.
Or if you're near a church, sometimes you have to, what's it called?
I read the script, and you know, with my dyslexia, sometimes I was just like, I read the word and I couldn't even have a stab at it. My brain like was like, la, 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 la. Like it just didn't, I had no idea. And that does happen sometimes with dyslexia. Well, with my dyslexia is that I just got, my brain's just sort of gone shopping and I can't get it back. And I was doing the rehearsal and I was like, oh God. And so the woman said to me, it's ecclesiastical. And I was like, okay, great. And then every time I said it, I was like, ecclesiastical. Like, I was just not getting it right. I was like Joey trying to speak French. And in the end, the only way that I could remember how to say it was by writing John Cleese on one of my hands.
Oh, yes.
So it was like John Ecclesiastical.
John Ecclesiastical.
John Ecclesiastical.
That would work, yeah.
That would work. Well, anyway, what I'm saying is, if you're dyslexic, there are always ways around. No one knew. No one in the audience knew.
Oh, they didn't know. You didn't call it John Ecclesiastical.
No, I called it Ecclesiastical. I think I said, probably said it quite quickly, but I don't think anyone minded.
No, I'm sure they didn't. It's quite a long word. Yeah,
it is quite a long word. And you know, those corporatees can be quite long.
Yeah, people like it to be at a certain pace,
let's
I think.
Be snappy.
Keep us on our toes. Oh, well, you know, it's a good word. But I thought it was a good episode of Call the Midwife, I'd say
it
that.
Always is. It's always a good episode of Call the Midwife.
Oh, it really was. Well, I can't remember what happened at the end, but I just remember crying.
Oh, of course. But what else would you do?
Yeah, what else? What else would I do? And the new one's come down and started doing her training, hasn't she?
Yes, of course. One's from Ireland. Love
oh,
it.
Yes. Is she from Ireland? I was trying to work out what her accent was, actually.
I thought she was Northern Irish.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
But what did you think?
I thought maybe Scottish.
Oh, I am
Borders.
Sorry.
I thought Scottish Borders, actually. Specifically.
I thought you said Scottish Orders. And I was like, yeah.
Well, Scottish Orders. Yeah, Scottish Orders, definitely. But I may be wrong there. Forgive me. Forgive me. But that's the name of the game. Forgiveness.
It is indeed. I feel like I need to mention the fact, because so many of my friends got in touch with me, I had to put my little friend Valma down this week, who friends of the podcast may have heard for the last 9 years meowing around the place.
Oh, we are all so sad. Lovely Valma, who's such a lovely cat and a lovely friend.
She was a lovely cat.
I don't always connect with cats. I always often find them quite aloof, which plays into my anxieties. But
she was a real gateway cat for people that hated cats, I think.
For sure. She was so lovely and so friendly and always came over to say hi.
Yes.
And was always a lovely, lovely presence.
She really was. Yeah. I had her for 11 years, like all of my 30s.
Which
seems like such a long time ago. I was sort of a different person when she came along. And then there were periods where I was like, as I'm sure people that have listened to the whole of Like-Minded Friends will remember, I had my heart broken and my nan died and it all happened very quickly. And it happened and it was a very sort of sad year or so. And then there were lots of times where she was a very comforting welcome presence in my life. And yeah, we had to have her put down, which is horrible. It's such a horrible experience, which I've never been in the room where they've put an animal down before, but the vet thought that she'd sort of become very disorientated. She'd become a little bit aggressive, which wasn't her vibe. She was crying a lot, and they in the end they thought that she probably had a brain tumor anyway, and then that was probably the best thing for her, because she seemed in pain.
Yeah.
And we were in the room with her. I wanted Alice to deal with it because I'm a coward. I was like, please, can you deal with this? Which she was very good about. But I went in as well. And then, they did it, and it was really sad, but it was quite peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very good at it.
Very good at making it
peaceful.
So now
we're getting her ashes sent to us, and I don't really know what to do with those.
Oh, well, you could.
Might put them on the mantle?
Yeah, why not?
Get a little cat statue, put them on the mantle?
Yeah, why not? You can put them. You could put them in the garden,
under a tree.
Oh, I know it's unbearable, isn't it? And I think people forget how if you're not familiar with pets, I would say they sort of become this like vestibule, not vestibule, that's a hallway, a vessel for all the
She's the vestibule.
She's the vestibule, and put her in the vestibule maybe. But she's a vessel for all the kind of love in the family.
Yeah.
That kind of you project all of your love for each other onto the animal sometimes.
Oh, and I think that's... I've never thought that, but yeah.
You know what I mean? I always think that because you'll often say, oh, I love you, when you do love the animal, but you also love you're saying it to the family and what they represent and the home and the kind of everything they're there for. So
I love that.
Oh, well, maybe that's helpful. But
it was very sad for all of us. But... We're working through. I keep thinking that I can hear her.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, there she is. And then I'm like, oh, no, that's the madness creeping back.
I had it when we had Zoe and Abby, the Yorkshire Terriers.
I love that they sound like girls from school.
Yeah, I know, right. I know. Yeah, they were great fun. But for years, I walked into Mum and Dad's kitchen expecting them to come running up.
Yeah. And of course I didn't.
But yeah, absolutely that same feeling of kind of missing them. Yeah, you do. Mm. You do.
And I don't know, it's sort of put me in a bit of a funny mood, of course. But then I wanted to talk to you about this because I really wanted to get your take on it, Tom. Okay. And it was funny because I said to Alice afterwards, I said, oh, I must talk to Tom about this on like-minded friends. And then literally about 2 minutes ago, Alice texted me.
Don't forget.
Cabaret. So this is what I'll tell you. So we were on the tube. We went to London. I don't know if you've heard of it. You gotta go.
Big city.
I was a big city girl. We went to London town at the weekend, the whole family, me, my wife, the bubba. Oh. And we were on the underground.
Oh.
And there was a boy who was quite loud. Okay. Not in an unpleasant way, but in that sort of very confident way.
Okay.
And I was standing in front of him with my family.
Hmm.
And we went past on the escalators up, we went past a poster for Cabaret.
Oh.
And he pointed at it and he said, oh, they've made that show so gay.
Oh.
I don't know why they've made it so gay or something like that. And
I don't think they did make it. I don't think anybody could make it any gayer.
Well, yeah. And so I said, I think it's always been quite gay. Oh, I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
And he said, he sort of looked at me like, I can't believe this person is talking to me. But I thought, well, no, I'm not going to have you using gay as a negative in front of, firstly, me. No.
Mm. Mm.
And secondly, my family, my daughter.
Mm.
And so I said, I think it's always been pretty gay. I said, it's written by Christopher Isherwood. He was
big gay.
A big gay.
Mm.
Yeah. It's gay. A queer storyline. I mean, yeah. I didn't say this, but Cliff's gay. And then afterwards, and I was like, I think it's always been quite gay. I think it's quippy. I think it's quite often.
What did Alice say? Shh, don't make a fuss.
No, Alice didn't even hear. And then I sort of, she was ahead.
Oh.
And then I thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then I sort of shamed him. I sort of went, it's always been gay. That's what the story, part of the story is, there's a queer storyline in it. It's not become gay. It just is about gay people.
Yeah.
And then I felt guilty.
Oh, that's
interesting. Do you know what I mean? Because then I was like, oh, why am I getting involved? It's a private conversation. Why does it matter?
Mm. Well.
But I think I was just sort of frayed at the edges anyway because of.
Yeah, you've been through a lot.
Like a sad couple of days.
Yeah.
But I don't know, was I right, Tom? Was I right to stick my oar in? Should I have just shut my goddamn mouth for a change?
I think if people are going to start talking loudly, I mean, about things being gay, then you've got a right to. I mean, it doesn't sound like you went up to him and
I didn't call him shouted in his, or anything.
Yeah, shouted in his face. Were you just going up the escalator together?
Yeah, I just turned around and said, I think it's always been pretty gay. It's a gay story. One of the storylines in it is queer. Because Cliff's bisexual, isn't he? And that's sort of one of the big stories.
But as well, like, you probably learn from it. I mean, when you said you describe him as a boy, which suggests to me he's a teenager. Is that
fair to say? No. He must have been going to some sort of formal. He had on tartan trousers.
Okay.
And he was Scottish. And then, of course, I thought, did I mishear in his accent? Was he saying it's great and I've just had a go at him? Because why? What is the point of being alive unless you berate yourself at every moment, you have?
I think as well, I think it's fine to talk to people. And I think London is very bad at making everybody like, no, don't say anything, don't look at anyone.
Mm.
And there are reasons for that, which I think are quite complex in terms of like, people want to sort of maintain their own space. And it's kind of, I think people do that to sort of respect other people a lot of the time, to give them space. You know, that's why I think people can look quite, particularly on the tube, quite blank or quite unhelpful. Yeah. But I think at the same time, it's not always healthy to be like that. And I think, you know, if you're going to be talking really loudly about something, then you're inviting people to question it, aren't you?
Yeah. It was a strange experience because afterwards I felt like, oh gosh, have I really ruined his night? And he was only probably in his early 20s and was that, and he was with his girlfriend and was that harsh of me to come down on him? But then I thought, well, don't be homophobic on the tube.
Don't say outlandish things to say, isn't it?
And also, like, oh, they've made that gay. I'm like,
I'm quite intrigued actually what the version is that he's seen that isn't gay.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Really. Is he from Chicago?
Are you thinking of I'm trying to think of what else it could be.
Are you thinking of The Sound of Music? Because...
And that's gay as well. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's no queer reimagining of cabaret, is there? Is there?
It's no, really it's... Famously. The imagining was queer. There's a straight reimagining. Maybe,
that's what I'm trying to figure out. But no, I think it's absolutely fine, Suze. And I think, not the same, I suppose, but my friend would sometimes take to shouting at people who got on the tube before other people had got on. But
oh, yes. On before people
got off, literally speaking, not in the amorous sense. And please let me get off.
This man's trying to get off. Please let him finish.
Tube system would grind to a halt. But my friend would take saying, can we let people off the tube first? I mean, particularly in the school holidays when you've got school trips who are maybe not familiar with the etiquette of tube doors. But I think there's something good about that. There's something good about sort of speaking out loud. Sometimes I think a lot of pressure builds up inside if we don't.
Anyway, I said it, then I felt guilty about it, then I felt silly for feeling guilty, and then I thought, what would my dad think? And I thought my dad would just say, don't worry about it.
yeah, that's it. I think from the outside, it's so bonkers, isn't it? But of course, in our minds, it's massive.
Totally.
It becomes these big sort of pillows, become huge, don't they? They become inflated and suddenly like, oh, there's no thought for anything else, no space for anything else. But it sounds like it's also, I'm not a psychiatrist, but a manifestation of what you were feeling around Valma.
Are you not a psychiatrist?
Oh no, have I misled you? Oh no, it's therapy. Happened again. No, I've been taping the whole thing.
I kept thinking, God, this therapist talks about himself a lot. But do you know what? I feel like I'm really making progress.
Yes, just these 9 years. Yes.
I have to stop this soon. Well, listen, Tom, we better go, hadn't we?
Well, I suppose.
I think people have had enough.
I'm with a lot of the listeners and saying how sorry we all are for the news of
I don't really know how to respond when people say that they're sorry.
Oh,
do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
Do you ever find that?
I
don't know how to respond to anything, I find.
Yeah, with that, though, I think it is difficult to go, because I'm sorry, you go, oh.
You should be.
Or, don't worry. Or, you know, really, like, it's like, oh, thank you. You just have to say, thank you.
Thank you, yeah. It's, thank you. She was a great cat. She was a great cat and a lovely girl.
And you gave her the perfect life.
That's well, I think I gave her a nice life and she gave me great companionship.
She did. Yeah, she did. Well, don't, I'm sure a lot of people relate to it, and it's such a horrible experience, but
shouting at a late teen, an early 20s on the tube really helped.
Maybe if you're going through any grief, maybe that's something you could try.
Maybe you could shout at a 20-year-old that's being borderline homophobic.
Maybe. But I think, you know, emotions come up in different ways, don't they? So,
yes.
You know, but,
This is true. Okay, well, right, listen, we'll see you next week, won't we?
We will see you next week, everybody. Have a great week. Go easy on yourself.
Take it easy on yourself. Great song. Dossie Springfield?
Indeed. I think... Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye, everyone. Bye. Bye, bye, bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian, and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day, and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook, and audio.